emotional and spiritual well-being. And so let's go on to the slides, because this is one of the ways to tell that story. And with questions, I think that one of the things that I should say before we go forward is that I am actually a doctor of Chinese medicine. That's my background. I've been to China 8 times to research Qigong and Tai Chi live and on the ground, and have met just hundreds of amazing people. And so I'm so excited about the fact that the Chinese figured this out so long ago, and the relevance of these insights that the Chinese discovered are really accurate and timely today, here, 3 millennia later. And so, turning to our own society and looking at our own government's investigation, the whole idea of well-being, you may know that in the Western world, we have been for a long time very focused on pathology, diagnosing pathology and fixing pathology. And often people will say, you know, I'm not in the health field, I'm actually in the medical field. And that really has made sense in the past, because our system has typically been a medical system. However, in the 1990s, the government started to investigate this concept of healthy people. And you may or may not be familiar, but there have been now 3 documents in the 90s, Healthy People 2000. In the 2000s came the document Healthy People 2010. And recently, the document Healthy People 2020 was released. If you were lucky enough to have actually watched the evolution of this process, it is amazing. And in the 90s, the question was, is medicine really doing a good job? And what they came up with was a lot of information on the deaths that were caused by medical accidents and the deaths that were caused by inappropriate use of drugs. And of course, the smoking situation was very prominent at the time. And so Healthy People 2000 started to investigate, you know, what happens if attention to health as a solution to disease. It's just such a beautiful, simple question. What would happen if you just stayed well? And so the evolution of the conversation from the 2000 document published in the 1990s, the 2010 document published in the 2000s, and the 2020 document is absolutely amazing. And one of the most important details is what we call the determinants of health. And the determinants of health are different than the determinants of disease. We're showing you a very brief slideshow here, but one of the most amazing slides, sets of slides that I have, is one that talks about the cause of death. And I'm not going to show you the slides, unfortunately. We don't have time. But let me just tell you briefly that the causes of death, that's the classic standard for measuring well-being in our society, is how many people died of heart disease, how many people died of stroke, how many people died of cancer. There is a new emerging language. It's so exciting, and it's called basically health determinants. What are the determinants of health and well-being? Here is a slide that shows those determinants as described in the Healthy People 2020 document. And by the way, the Healthy People 2000 document is so focused on chronic disease self-managed care. Listen to that, how beautiful that is. Chronic disease self-managed care. It's focused on wellness. It's focused on health promotion. It's focused on productivity enhancement. In other words, the conversation is drifting from what are the causes of disease and what kinds of medicines and procedures do we need to the discussion of what are the determinants of health. Now, if you're interested in Qigong and Tai Chi, you know that people who become interested in Qigong and Tai Chi love to be in natural physical environments. People who are involved with Tai Chi usually go to a class and hang around with other people who have similar interests. Number two, their social environment. And you may have seen the research on the fact that one of the highest determinants of well-being is the number of friends people have, or the number of social encounters a person has during a week. Then individual behavior. Not only is Qigong and Tai Chi a kind of personal behavior, but that kind of behavior usually leads to other types of behavior. So people who do Qigong and Tai Chi tend to drink a little more green tea. They tend to eat a little less sugar. They tend to satisfy themselves, to develop the cultivation. They cultivate the health behaviors. And we may talk more about that when we get to the questions. Health services. When people practice Qigong and Tai Chi, how inclined are they to for surgery? They want to go to an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, a meditation class, a vacation. They want to go to a Tai Chi retreat. They want to become a Tai Chi teacher. And then biology and genetics. Wow, the information on the extent to which Qigong and Tai Chi have an effect on the physiological system and the genes is amazing. And we may not be able to talk about that all here today either, but we will have those discussions. And it's just such an opportunity for people like us. I can't imagine that you're on the phone because you're not a people like us sort of individual, someone who's interested in the possibility of health maximization. And who's going to fix this? You see every day how easy it is for anything to happen around healthcare in our nation's capital or in the capitals of any of the states. And you also see what's happening in Washington these days around finances. If you saw the number, slide we're not showing, so I'll just tell you very briefly, we spend $3 trillion a year as a nation treating preventable diseases. Let me just say that one more time. In this country, we spend $3 trillion a year treating preventable diseases. What would happen if we actually prevented them? It just boggles our mind here at the Institute why people in policy making positions are not all over wellness and so forth. Well, okay, Healthy People 2020 is, and that's a government document. So this phrase, when each person does the small job of taking care of themselves, the large job of taking care of everyone is automatically completed, that's huge. And it has financial implications. It also has, if you love the values of the natural values of our nation, one of those values is self-reliance. And so when people wait for the government to fix problems, that's a problem. People fix the government, doesn't fix people. People fix the government. So we have an opportunity here because 85% of disease is preventable. We have an opportunity to save $2+ trillion. It's more than $1 trillion every year. Now, just as in a comparison, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the statistics on those wars, two wars, is that it costs $3 trillion in 10 years. $3 trillion in 10 years to fight two wars. The cost of health care for 1 year. When I hear the words coming out of my mouth, I just can't even believe it. that the cost of health care for 1 year is more than it costs to fight two wars for 10 years. Just blows my mind. So, you know, obviously that's not going to get fixed. People in government aren't even talking about this. So it's up to us to fix it, and fortunately we can. So how? You know, like, what do we do? What is the best thing that this society could do? What's the best thing that you could do as an individual? What is the best thing that you could support your family in understanding? What is the best thing that a company can do? What is the best thing a social service organization do? What can a hospital do? What can a school do? What can the military do? You would be amazed at how much mind-body practice is going on in the military. What can we do? Well, Qigong. Now, obviously, I'm biased to the value of Qigong. I'm the director of an institute that's all we do is teach people to be Qigong and Tai Chi teachers. So what about mind-body practice? Well, it doesn't cost anything. You can do it in your office, in your home. You don't have to change your clothes. It doesn't require a diagnosis. How do you get it into your life? You prioritize. How many of the people on the phone would answer yes to the question, I probably read the paper more than I need to? Or how many of you say yes to the question, I probably watch more news on CNN or Fox or whatever my choice of the source of news is? How are we prioritizing our lives? And then, you know, what is one of the most amazing things to talk to other people about? What we're talking about right now. The experience of being a part of solving a problem presidents and Congress cannot solve. How rewarding is that? And so, you know, we're thrilled to be in this work, of course, and we're thrilled that you're on the line and listening to this this program. So leading and teaching mind-body practice is not only a way to help others, but it's a way to be accountable to our own well-being. And one of the things that we hear from our graduates, and I'll just mention, because I can't remember what I said earlier, 300 teachers, we've trained over 300 teachers. We've trained over 500 what we call practice leaders, teacher 200 hours, practice leader 25 hours. Big difference. We've also here at the headquarters of the IIQTC, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, we also work with another program, which is a coaching, wellness coaching program called the Circle of Life. And we've trained 500 coaches nationally and internationally, wellness coaches and health and wellness coaches. So we are very involved in mobilizing the citizens of this nation at the level of body health, emotional and mental health, sexual health. You know, if you're one of those people who's familiar with Qigong and Tai Chi, you know how directly connected to a sense of spirituality that is. And so hoping that you are thinking about either practicing Qigong and Tai Chi yourself or sharing with others. Now, one of the things that we've worked on really hard here at the Institute is creating a framework that allows for Qigong and Tai Chi principles in their richest form to sustain, but at the same time to translate into the language of our own society. So we teach our graduates, that is the people who will go out into their communities to get contracts to teach in social service agencies, community centers, school systems, hospitals, and corporations, and more. We teach them to language Qigong and Tai Chi for any kind of an audience. So a medical audience, a yoga audience, a retreat center or spa audience, even a spiritual audience, whether that's a church or some other spiritual community. And one of the nicest ways that the definition of Qigong and Tai Chi is a operational definition based on, quote, the baskets of practice. And as you can see, body practice, breath practice, self-applied massage, and meditation, these are the four components of Qigong. Typically, massage is not a part of Tai Chi. However, many Tai Chi teachers teach self-applied massage as a warm-up and so forth, and if you've had that experience, you know what I mean. But these, when somebody goes in to get a contract or promote themselves to an organization to be a teacher, they can use that language of the baskets of practice, and that basically points to language that people in decision-making positions know about. And typically, we've heard this story many times. After the training, I went back to my community, and I walked into the YMCA, and I said, you know, I'm presenting myself as a community practice, you know, that, let's say, graduate from level one, and I'm here as a community practice leader to propose myself as a community practice leader. Often someone will say, well, you know, we were just talking about that in our meeting today. And we really want to get more Tai Chi and Qigong in here. So, yes, tell us more. Tell us about your certification. Tell us what you're proposing. And so it's, you know, a very, very rewarding situation. Now, why? I want to give just a little logic for why the concept of Qigong and Tai Chi has suddenly popped. And there's many reasons, but this is one of them, and then I'll give you a little bit more from some research that we did later. But I think it was in 2003, we got a grant from the Archstone Foundation to do a national expert meeting on Qigong. It was the University of Illinois, the National Council of on Aging was involved, the IIQTC was another of the conveners, and this quote is from the consensus report. The wellness practices of traditional Chinese medicine, Tai Chi and Qigong, are among the best forms of physical activity for diverse populations since they are low-cost, group-based, low-impact, and relatively easy to learn. That is powerful. And the power of that is showing up in our society as programs all over the place are being funded now to hire Tai Chi and Qigong teachers. Exciting, really exciting. And so, you know, we are, well, we're prepared for that, and we're training people who are going to participate in that. And by the way, just as a moment of diversion here, I'd like to say that, you know, we not only train people to be teachers and practice leaders, but we also do programs at organizations throughout the United States, retreat organizations that you might recognize, Omega Institute, Esalen Institute, Kripalu Yoga Center in Massachusetts, and others. And so if you happen to be on the line and you're interested in just learning to practice Tai Chi and Qigong yourself as opposed to becoming a teacher, then be sure to take a look at the websites and the calendars and so forth. There's a lot of really amazing programs that we do all over the United States that are really fun for just learning to practice on your own. And then, of course, we have our teacher trainings. So this next couple of slides here is about the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi programs and the training programs and the research. And, of course, our bias or our mission, which is increasing wellness on many levels. So let's take a moment to have a look at how the whole IIQTC universe works. And as you can see, probably you may have been to our websites. It's very likely that you're on the phone because you've actually been to the website, signed on to our mailing list, and gotten a notification about this online event, and that's why you're here. So you've probably seen the websites. But there's so much information on those websites, it's helpful if we can just break it down a little bit. So allow me to just point to the to this next slide. The core of our programming is the teacher training, Qigong and Tai Chi teacher training, and that's these three rectangular boxes, level one, level two, level three. That is the core of our work. However, on the left, with an arrow going down to Tai Chi Easy, this is another briefer program. The teacher training, three levels of the teacher training, that's a 200-hour program. That's that you earn the right to be called a teacher in a context like that. These others, Tai Chi Easy is a short program, not 200 hours, it's 25 hours, and you can visit the website about that and get information on that. We may take some questions on that. Notice that there's an arrow going to HWF off to the left there. The Tai Chi Easy program has actually been licensed by a nonprofit, which is called the Healer Within Foundation, which is allowing us to collaborate to provide training for people in communities that would typically not have access to this type of information. So people in stress, people in poverty, people in certain types of social service programs, people in neighborhoods that are not particularly peaceful neighborhoods, people who are out of work and so forth. And so part of what happens through the level 1, 2, 3 is that one can become qualified to be a Tai Chi Easy practice leader trainer. And this is a little far ahead for most of you who are probably interested in the idea of just either practicing Qigong yourself or Tai Chi yourself or getting some training about how to be a teacher. But hold in your mind that we also are very enthusiastically engaged in accessing funding to be able to bring these programs to neighborhoods that would otherwise not access them. So we can talk about those in the question and answer period. Level one is Qigong. Level two is Tai Chi. And we have a very highly refined approach to Tai Chi. And we make teach the people who we're teaching to be teachers and practice leaders. We teach you how to make Tai Chi easy. And it's really one of the, shall we say, secret sauces of the IIQTC. We've been working on this for over 30 years. And to make Tai Chi accessible is one of the most powerful things that could happen in this nation right now, and we are working on that. And then level three is basically tying that all together and finishing the training. The National Qigong Association, the first level of professional membership is 200 hours. 200 hours of training gives you the right to buy into a level of membership at the National Qigong Association as a professional member. Anything less than that is not a teacher. It's more like a practice leader. And you can see from the slide. Then beyond the graduation from level three, there are numerous advanced programs. We have a training for people who actually train teachers. So in other words, people who will be Tai Chi Easy practice leader trainers, integral energetics trainers, and Qigong and Tai Chi teacher trainers. We also have advanced Tai Chi programs. The Tai Chi of level two is meant to be very accessible, whereas advanced Tai Chi goes off into all the more esoteric aspects of the Chen, the Yang, the Wu, and the Sun. And there's also an integral energetics level two, which is only available to people who graduate from level three of the teacher training. So I won't go on with this, but there's a lot more to be said, and certainly we can answer questions as we go forward. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk about just the magnitude. I want to point to a slide that gives you the magnitude of the power of people doing self-care at the level of citizen self-reliance. So if you are a person who believes in the possibility of the citizens of this nation doing a better job regarding health care than the people who are elected to make a difference, if you believe that the people themselves fix the country, then you're going to love this slide. And we don't have the statistical on here, although we could. The base of the pyramid is bigger, and that is the amount of people who are doing something. The higher, going up to the pyramid, is higher cost. So at the base of the pyramid, you have the potential for everybody in the society to be taking care of themselves at home. Everybody. And then it's probably going to be a lesser number, unfortunately, but a lesser number of people who are going to participate mindfully and purposefully in prevention and health enhancement programming. Those are people who are going beyond whatever their natural level of self-care is to a more directed approach to self-care through training programs and teaching programs like Tai Chi and Qigong. And then hopefully the top of the pyramid, which is smaller, it's the highest cost, and it should be the smallest number of people who need medical care. And so as you can see, the real action in terms of saving money is to keep people from going into the top tier of the pyramid by engaging them at the bottom level or the middle level. And, of course, that's what we do here at the Institute, and that's what the people who are our instructor trainees are doing. And the transition to integrative healthcare, or what some people call integrative medicine, I'm really more inclined for this call to call it a healthcare system as opposed to a medical system. This concept of a wellness-based medical system or a wellness-based healthcare system is taking hold, and it's taking hold for a lot of reasons. Now, just look at the arrows here and follow them. So you go from the public, that's a person, any person, down to the first level of consultation. Now, the older way of doing this would be the first column. Notice that at this point, what happens is that we try conventional medicine, and then we put people into wellness programs. This is actually backwards. So what we're recommending is a chart where the arrow from the public first goes into health promotion, and then that the arrows into conventional medicine and complementary medicine are like a balance. So if the person really needs diagnosis with sophisticated instrumentation, conventional medicine. But if the person just needs some massage, acupuncture, osteopathy, chiropractic, naturopathic, herbal, homeopathic, etc., they should go into the complementary medicine. However, the most important point, and notice the pink arrow, which is under the health promotion column, for a person to learn more about themselves, to make a personal plan, take personal action, and that's practice Qigong and Tai Chi, or change your diet, or go for a walk, or appreciate a sunset, or have a laugh, or, you know, all those things. And so the essence of the emerging wellness-based medical system is that center column, which includes Qigong and Tai Chi. So now, that seems logical to us, but people in higher places need research. And so for years we would say, well, why do you need research? The Chinese have been doing this for thousands of years. Just look at that. But, you know, we don't live in China, and that doesn't make sense. So here at the Institute, we became very focused on this question, and we basically answered it. And the concept these days is there an evidence base? Is there an evidence base? And we just had published in the American Journal of Health Promotion an article that was written by myself and other graduates of the IIQTC teacher training program. And so I'm going to just take you through this really quickly. It turns out that there are, since 1992, through the end of 2007, and we're now working on completing it for actually going beyond 2007 through 2011, but this statistic, the statistics that you're seeing here, these nine key health outcomes for Tai Chi and Qigong are amazing. And notice, if the slide has changed for you, the largest number down below is the number scale, and notice that psychological goes past 25. So there's actually 27 studies that have been done on Qigong and Tai Chi as they have an influence on the psychological aspects of a human being. Amazing. Look at this second one, the green one, cardiopulmonary effects, 23 studies. That's just amazing. For 23 studies to have shown that Qigong and Tai Chi are safe and effective, it's just it's like a marvel. And this evidence base is now basically a part of the common knowledge in the Western world. It's published in a journal that's highly respected, the American Journal of Health Promotion. These nine outcomes, which we've already discussed, so I'm not going to just stay on that slide, but is that amazing or what? In other words, we've got the data that proves that Qigong and Tai Chi are worth attending to and so forth. I'm going to read you some statements from two very important people, and there are many more people who are talking about these things. Let's just talk about one. First, from James Furman, who's the president of the National Council on Aging, which is the largest institutional agency in Washington. Now, you might think, well, AARP, but the AARP is a membership organization. That's people. The National Council on Aging is all the agencies that serve aging populations. He says, and this is amazing, from a very high-ranking person in the field of healthcare, the regular practice of Tai Chi Easy provides significant health benefits for people of all ages. Tai Chi Easy, which is one of our programs, helped me to recover rapidly from my own recent heart surgery. And then Valerie Fagan, who is a key player at one of the larger infant centers around the country. Tai Chi Easy is a perfect package of mind-body wellness skills for health and social service agencies in my area. I'm also enthusiastic to have solidified my Tai Chi and Qigong teaching skills at this level of simplified community practice. Valerie is actually a graduate of our 200-hour program, and she's at this point at the level that she's going to be teaching Tai Chi Easy practice leaders to be practice leaders. So in other words, she's leading practice, but she's also moving along in the process to become a leader of practice, a teacher of practice leaders. So wrapping up and looking forward to discussing more with you, there's a couple of dates here. We've got a Tai Chi Easy practice leader training that's coming up at the Esalen Institute in September. We have a level one community practice leader training, which is coming up in later September. So we hope you will spread the word on that. and we'll probably end up getting a few questions on that, so I won't belabor those points. I'm sure the websites and look at the calendars, you can find those notes. So we'll go to question and answers here, and I'm going to shift to the slide that shows the websites while we do it. And thank you so much for taking the time to tune in, and let's see what the questions are.
All right. Thank you so much, Roger, for that summary. It's kind of a lot of information there to absorb, and we do have some questions coming in that have been submitted by our webcast participants. Thank you so much for those. We're going to take those in order that they came in. And I'd also want to invite the callers who are on the phone to feel free to chime in and ask a question and just at any time at this point, right? So we're opening it up here. But let's go over to our questions at this point. So there's a question from Minneapolis coming in, if you're still with us. From Minneapolis, here we go. How does one explain to potential students exactly what Qigong and Tai Chi are?
Yeah, I love this question. We answer it, thousands and thousands of times, and it always gets said a little bit differently. But the first thing that I would say is to go back to this slide. Baskets of practice. The easiest way to define any kind of qi-oriented personal practice, or which would include yoga, by the way, prana and qi are the same thing. To say the words, the operational definition of qigong is made up of three things to do, meaning things you do. Body practice, breath practice, self-applied massage, and meditation and visualization. These things can be done separately or they can be done together. If you look at yoga, it's the same thing. If you look at Tai Chi, it's pretty much the same thing. There are some new arrivals, things that are kind of fusions, shall we say, of yoga and Tai Chi, Nia, Zumba, certainly Pilates would fit in here somewhere. Any kind of traditional physical therapy that has a movement component with a breath component and a meditation component is essentially a kind of Qigong. And by the way, swimming, riding a bicycle, all these things, when they are done in a way where these three primary ones, body, breath, and mind, are coordinated, those are all really considered to be qigong. Now, sometimes people say, well, okay, there's your operational definition. What other kind of a definition do you have? And what I would say, my favorite definition of qigong is gong means to cultivate or refine. And qi means, whatever you think qi means, energy, life force, consciousness, the unified field, universal energy, whatever you like to call qi. So refining the qi, or cultivating the qi. Those would be my two top definitions for qigong, and you could use those same definitions for Tai Chi. And honestly, if you change qi to prana, you could use the same definitions for yoga.
Great. Okay. Anybody on the phone that has a question at this point? So just opening up the floor to the phone. Let's go ahead and speak. right. So we're going to give you another chance. If you have a question that's forming, you'll know the time when to do that. Okay, we're going to go to another question that was submitted by one of our web listeners from Appleton, it looks like. This is about the 2012 training calendar. Is it set yet? I'm especially interested in level one training. Well, thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill, for giving us your name. I can answer that one. 2012 calendar is actually being worked on. So that's something that we are going to be releasing very soon, and we're very, very excited about level one training. Definitely you can look forward to a level one training happening a little bit earlier in the year this year, and that's going to be in March. So to give you exact dates, we'll be sending that in our update after this call. All right, so wonderful. Thank you, Jill, for the question. Next incoming question is a nice, juicy one, Roger, so this will be really fun. Okay, get ready for this one. This is from Little Rock, Arkansas. I teach Wu-style Tai Chi. How does this training differ from traditional Tai Chi, the styles from which Wu training in particular originated? And another great follow-up question here, does the movement of Qi change, increase or decrease with Tai Chi Easy versus the more traditional styles? Right, so this is like, very interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. We love this. This is great penetrating questions. So the first one, would you just repeat it again so I'm sure that I understand
yes.
The Wu part. And how does this training different from learning Wu style? Yes.
Yes. Yes. So how does this training differ from traditional Tai Chi?
The traditional family of Tai Chi, including the Wu style. So I'll mention them: Chen, Yang, Wu, Sun, and any others. Because there are many other family Tai Chis, these are the most common ones. They are typically lengthy forms of 108 movements or what are called short forms, which include anything from 42 movements down to 2 movements. The experience that we've had over many, many years is that for most people, that's too much. Now, that's not to say that that is too much, like a general statement, at all, because myself, I have a lot of reverence for the traditional more lengthy forms. However, in the area of wellness and the application of wellness to large populations, which is something that's very needed in our society right now, our approach, which we call the Integral Tai Chi Teaching Method, this method is very carefully focused on the idea of empowering people to eliminating stress in people's lives. A lot of times over the years, people have said, I love the idea of Tai Chi, but going to this class just makes me tense. And shifting the focus from the traditional way into learning in a way that is carefully crafted to be suitable to people in America who are either not well or who are under duress, having stress, know that they have risk for disease in their family, many, many reasons why people want to learn these practices. There's all kinds of logic for why people come to Tai Chi for a few classes and then leave. And we have trained people as teachers who are, in fact, teachers of traditional Tai Chi, and they actually come to our teacher training to, number one, learn more Qigong, because often when we learn traditional Tai Chi, we don't get to learn much Qigong. Often people come to our trainings because their teachers have not been able to communicate with them because they speak Chinese, and those individuals are really interested in learning more about the theory, and so, you know, we speak English, and so that's a can be a very powerful source of learning in a context where not a lot of information has been able to be shared in the past. And, you know, there are probably another half dozen reasons. One of my favorite comments from traditional Tai Chi teachers is, we're not inclined to want to change our Tai Chi. We're just wanting to learn how to change how we teach Tai Chi. And this is basically one of the special areas of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. And if you want to pursue this question further, well, let me say one more thing, and then I'll say what I was going to say. The gestures that we use in the training are, you know, when you train, let's say, for instance, you've got a training, you've got 35, 40 people in the room, it's important to have a form to focus on. However, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi is not based on forms, and it's not based on families, and it's not based on others, and it's not based on schools of thought. It is based on principles. And so what we do is we teach the trainees to teach principle-based Tai Chi. The form that we use to carry the principles is a form that includes classic gestures. So the gestures like hands like clouds that show up in all the families, and a gesture like single whip, which may have different names throughout the different families, but the gesture is in all of the forms of Qigong and Tai Chi, including the Wu style. So when a person has finished with this training, they will have learned the Tai Chi, the integral Tai Chi teaching method, and then can use that method with whatever form of Tai Chi they wish. Now, the invitation that I was going to put out is that if you want to talk more about this particular point, there are surely, well, my email is right there, dryonka@healthaction.net. So send me an email, and we can communicate more on this. And thank you so much for that question. And then, Josie, on to that other one that was somewhat like down the same line.
Yes, it's also from Little Rock. So thank you for the really gorgeous questions, just really provocative, really beautiful. Does the movement of chi, right, so chi, energy, vitality, prana, change, that is, increase or decrease with Tai Chi Easy versus the more traditional style?
Yeah, great, great, beautiful question. Well, yes, and I don't want to say this in a context which indicates that my school is better than your school, because we really don't like that dialogue at all. That whole idea of, you know, my teacher is better than your teacher, mine's bigger than yours, you know, I can do more, you know, my teacher is transcendental and can walk through walls, and, you know, all that is just not a part of the world that we are paying attention to. So when I say yes here, what I mean is that when you reduce the amount of stress that a person is experiencing, they are more likely to feel the effect of what we call the qigong state, or the qi effect. And because people spend so much time in learning traditional Tai Chi, learning movements and hand positions and so forth, coordinating the hands and the feet, all that stuff, it really takes a long time to learn it, to learn that Tai Chi well enough so that the Qi sensation comes back. Now, I was just, we just did a training, a level two training, which is the Tai Chi training, Tai Chi teacher portion of this 200-hour training here in Santa Barbara with a group of almost 30 people. And more than one of those people said to me, and in fact a few of them said it out loud to the group, what I love about this approach to Tai Chi is that it really is Qi focused. So it's a little less martial focused, although we certainly are aware of the martial applications and have some discussion on that. And it's a little less focused on lengthy forms where coordinating bottom of the body and the upper part of the body are on the, you know, are there, part of the training for the whole thing, A to Z. And so we have a focus on Qi. And at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, we feel that Qi, whatever you call it in the Western world, whether it's physiological function, whether it's ions flowing in the body, whether it's the magnetic field, or whether it's the quantum essence, however you like to think of the Qi, that is our focus at the Institute. And so our bias in Tai Chi is to learn by principle. So the juicy, highly revered, sound principles of Tai Chi are ever present. The whole idea of rooting, balance, sinking and raising, opening, relaxing, all that, all those beautiful, original, classic, ancient principles are a part of our method for teaching people to be Tai Chi teachers. But the Qi, the actually having the experience of the Qi and maximizing the function of the Qi is a big, big deal. And so the answer is yes, there is a difference.
All right. Thank you for the nice answer to some gorgeous questions. Thank you again. I want to open the floor to the callers on the phone one more time. So just your any questions at this point. So just welcoming you now. Just go ahead and take a nice breath and, you know, and give us your question if you've got a question.
Well, just a simple question, if I may, and I had emailed this in as well at the beginning of the conference call, but I wondered if, I know you mentioned about just getting ready to prepare the 2012 schedule, and I wondered if you would even know at this early stage yet whether there would be another training in the New York or Eastern East Coast area in 2012.
Yes.
Jesse, I'll jump in on that.
Okay.
So here's the segment into brief trainings or longer trainings. The 200-hour training that we do, level one happens in Texas, and the reason why level one happens in Texas is that it's central in the United States. So the people from California and the people from the East Coast and the people from Minnesota, they all come to one place. The shorter trainings, which are the Tai Chi Easy, and that's the 25-hour practice leader training, and the Integral Energetics training, those happen at different places around the United States, and you have to watch the calendar. Now, I can tell you for sure that, almost for sure, because we're negotiating and planning now, that we're going to be doing the Tai Chi Easy Practice Leader Training at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, late June or July. Now, the most important thing for you to say right now is, are you talking about the brief or talking about the teacher training? And then let me say one more thing after you say that.
Well, I was, but I'm actually interested in every word you're saying. So each of the trainings is of great interest to me, so I appreciate your elaboration on any and all of them.
You bet. So apparently you live in New York, or you're out in the East Coast area. And
Pennsylvania.
So, yes, okay. So one of the things that I would say is, when people, and I don't take this, this isn't me talking to you, it's really me talking to every person whoever asks this question, so don't take it personally. One of the most amazing places in the world is the Esalen Institute. And for a person to deny themselves the availability of going to the Esalen Institute to study Tai Chi, to study Tai Chi easy, that shorter practice leader training. Wow, I just don't do that to yourself. If you've never been to the Esalen Institute, doesn't matter where in the world it is, try to get there. So that's the shorter training. And that's happening in September, and I'm not supposing that you can make it, but you know that when people ask the question, can you come to my neighborhood, it's kind of like saying, you know, really everything besides being at home is an inconvenience to me. And it could be. Maybe you don't drive, or maybe you're afraid of airplanes. Or I mean, there's a lot of things that could mean, and I, you know, it doesn't matter that much. The point is, I would suggest that you don't, and I suggest this to everyone, so it's not just to you, that you don't make your decision about these things based on where in the world it is. Base your decision on what you feel inspired to do in your life. And if you're inspired to be a part of the revolution that the people are going to have to put into play to be able to save this country, and if you're inclined to want to do it from the level of well-being and consciousness, then I would really strongly recommend not getting so much into the business of hoping that something will come to your neighborhood, but instead really deeply investigate the longing that you have and the commitment that you have to being a part of that.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I look forward to meeting you.
Same here. Thank you very much.
Okay, we are at 7 o'clock, and that's basically the end of our program. So at this point, we're just going to make a few little concluding remarks. There were a few more questions we didn't get to, and I do apologize, but some of these are like when are certain trainings, and a couple of them are comments. We realized there was a little bit of a time issue with the slide, so we apologize for those moments. So I see some of those comments here, but the slides will be available for you to look at, and that'll look for the email that has the replay of this event, which will have the slides, a place where you can access the slides as well. So, Roger, I'm just going to turn the floor over to you for any concluding remarks you have for tonight's lively discussion and colorful slides. Any concluding remarks for tonight?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, my first remark is thank you, Chief. Setting this up so that we can all be communicating. And, of course, to thank everybody who is listening now, as well as everyone who is going to be listening as this program is posted. I know that hundreds of you have signed on to receive the follow-up mailings, and so I'm sure that we've probably had a big chunk of you on the phone. And then we'll be speaking to a big chunk of you in the recording. Please feel comfortable to let us know what you are interested in and what you want. You know, it's impossible, of course, to fulfill every request. But our goal is to, in fact, make strong connections with people in the United States and the world, because we have actually... we've trained people from South America, Middle America, Mexico, Canada, Asia. Actually, people come to the United States to study Asian health arts. It's amazing. And, of course, lots of people from Europe. And we haven't had many people from Africa yet, but we're really looking forward to that. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for your interest in our work. Let us know how we can support you or serve you. And we look forward to meeting you soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Everybody take care now. Send us an email if you want more information. Bye-bye now.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a good night.